Good morning. How is everyone? Somebody's awake. Hopefully that's contagious. Why don't we pray, and then we will get to work. God, we come to you this morning, and we thank you. We want to tell you that we love you. And God, we want to hear your voice. So God, as we read your word, we would ask that you would speak to us, that we would feel your presence in what you've said, that you would guide us into all righteousness and all truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, we are going through the book of Matthew, and we're just kind of trudging our way through, and the idea being that we, as we do that, we will look at Jesus and come to know him better and also come to obey him more as well as we hear his words and watch his action and see his life. And we've been in a part of Matthew in chapter 4, if you want to get there, we will get there eventually, that has to do with Jesus' mission. It's kind of a very brief it was a concise overview of what Jesus did, and it presents it at the start of his ministry. So it says Jesus did these things, and then he continues doing them through the rest of his ministry. So we're taking advantage of that to say, okay, if this is what Jesus spent his life focused on, then if we are following him, that should be what we spend our lives focused on as well. It should be our purpose. And we started out by seeing that Jesus lived among people who were far from God and spent time with them, shared his life with them. So we should do that as well, because that's what Jesus did. And then we saw that Jesus proclaimed the gospel, the good news of having peace with God, of being reconciled to the Father. Well, that's what we should do as well if we are following Jesus. And then last week we saw that the story of God, the creation, the rebellion, the reconciliation, and the restoration, that explains the gospel. And so if we know the story, we can share the gospel. And then today, I want to continue that conversation, because the text we're going to look at, the one that comes next, raises up and then answers a question: what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to follow Jesus? What's your life supposed to look like if you follow Jesus, if you're a Christ follower, if you're a Christian? And this is a good question to ask regularly and to have the Bible answer for us regularly, because we live in a religious world, in a world where if you look at religion, Christianity, faith, from an outsider's perspective, and I don't mean someone who doesn't go to church, I mean you're from another planet. This is imaginary, so I'm not saying there's people on other planets, right? But you're from another planet, and you land here, and you look around, and you're trying, and you decide one day, I'm going to figure out what it means to be a Christian. Okay, what would that look like? So then you look around, and by observation, you would probably come to the conclusion that being a Christian means you belong to some sort of group, some sort of club, and you ask someone, and they would tell you, well, you're saved. Okay, so you're saved, and then it seems that Christians try to live better than they, as better people than they would be if they weren't Christians. So you're saved and you try to be a good person, and you go to a building on Sundays. So you're saved, you're good, and you go to church. That's what you would probably come to, the conclusion you would come to if you were just looking in from the outside. And what does it mean to be a Christian? Well, you're saved, you're good, and you go to church. And we would like to think, as we look at Jesus' mission, we would like to think there's something in us that would like to believe that it's really optional to truly live the way Jesus did, to truly imitate this part of Jesus' life. Should we imitate his love and his justice? Well, of course. But imitate his purpose and his mission. I would like to think that's optional. I would like to think that that's part of who Jesus is, that I don't necessarily have to incorporate into my life. Why? Well, because I want to live on my mission. Whether that mission is my happiness, or whether it's pleasure, or whether it's getting things, or whether it's getting power, whether it's having success in my career, or whether it's my family, or whether it's sports, or whatever it is, my life is built around my mission. And I would really like to believe that it's optional for me, if I'm going to follow Jesus, to build my life around his mission. I would much rather build my life around my mission the way I was before and maybe just do it better. And now I got God to help me with the things that are important to me. And I'll go to church on Sunday. That'll all work out kind of really nicely. And then we look at Jesus and we say, well, I would hope that would be optional. That would be for other people, people who share their lives with outsiders and who regularly proclaim the gospel, whether it's in studies or whether it's just in their conversation and know how to tell that whole story thing. If you missed last week, go to iwantpeacewithgod.com, and there's one English word on the whole page, so find that. It says messages or sermons or something. English. No, I think the word is English. Look for the word English at the top of the page. Click on that, and you will see last week's message will be the first one there if you do it before Tuesday or Wednesday. This one will be the next one. But anyway, we would like to think that all of that, doing what Jesus did with his life, well, isn't that for like the leaders and for people who are really into it and the ones who, well, the preacher at least, and maybe some of the other people who are kind of leaders at church and the advanced ones, the Christians who are really, well, into their Christianity, maybe more than us normal Christians are. But the truth of the matter is, living like Jesus did in the sense of having his purpose, living our lives around his mission, isn't optional. It's not optional. We'll see today that if we are going to be people who call ourselves Christians and who follow Jesus, it's not optional to base our life around his mission and live with his purpose. When we do that, we're actually not following him. And when we do that, we're saying we're following him, but ironically, we're saying we're following him and we're actually not. What we're going to look at today is, in Jesus' words, what it means to follow him and what he calls all of us to. And I think this will be helpful for you. Well, depending. It'll be helpful for you, I think, if you are a Christ follower, if you've made the decision at some point in your life to follow Jesus, and you've repented and been baptized and you've entered into Christ, you say, he's my Lord, I'm going to follow him. I think today will be a good reminder of what we truly have committed ourselves to and what it means to live in this identity as a Christian, as a Christ follower. And if you still haven't made that decision to follow Jesus, you haven't crossed that line, you haven't repented and been baptized, what we're going to look at today is the life that Christ calls you to when you make that decision. And my prayer is that you will decide to follow Jesus. So, what does it mean to follow Jesus? To answer that question, let's look at when Jesus started actually calling his first follower. So, Matthew 4, verse 18, Jesus calls to his first followers in this section. And what we'll see here, the big idea that we're going to unpack out of this section today, is that Jesus calls us to follow him, to be followers who make other followers. Jesus calls us to be followers who make other followers. And so, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he being Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. So picture that, Jesus walking by a sea, he sees two brothers, they're fishing, so they're probably not on the shore, they're probably out a little ways in the water, on a boat, I'm guessing, doesn't say. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So he calls out to them and tells them to do something. And they're faced with a choice. Are we going to do it or not? Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. We would assume that he made the same call to them. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And in this, very concise, we see what the call that Jesus makes to us is if we would be his followers, if we would be Christians, if we would be people who would go after him. Look at the two parts of it. It's follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The first part, follow me, Jesus is saying, be someone Be someone who comes with me, who spends time with me in their day. You will be a disciple or a follower of a teacher, of a rabbi. And they would, the disciples, the followers, would walk behind and walk with and spend their life with and learn from and watch and observe and listen to the person they were following. And the goal was to become like that person. So they would follow him and observe and listen and watch so that they would become, and so they would become a copy of him, which is ironic, not ironic, which is actually instructive, because if Christians are called Christians because we follow Jesus, well, what does Christian mean? It means you're like Jesus. You take the name of Jesus on. You're saying, I want to be like him. I'm following him. I'm trying to be like he was. That's the first part of the call. What was the second part? I will make you fishers of men. Now, if you've been around church or religion for any amount of time, you've probably heard that phrase. And it's become one of those phrases that you hear and you accept. It's like, oh yeah, I'll make you fishers of men. But if you stop and think for a minute, pretend you've never heard that before. That's a weird thing to say, isn't it? I mean, if I were to say, I'm going to make you fishers of men, you'd go, eh? Unless you're a fisherman, a fisher person, fisher woman, you probably, most of us, I guess, we don't make our living fishing every day. And so if I were to say that, you'd say, well, where are you getting that metaphor from? That's a weird thing. What are you saying? Well, put yourself in that moment. Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee. They're actually fishing because that's how they made their living. That was their job. And so he took what they did and he said, I'm going to make you get other followers. I'm going to make you be people who can help other people follow me. That's what you're supposed to do. And he uses a metaphor related to what they do because that connected it for them. But what's he saying? He's called them to be followers who would make other followers. And before we say, well, yeah, that was them. That was at that time. That was the first followers. That was the disciples. That may be different for us. Well, what does he tell this same group of men? Because for the rest of his life, he started telling people to follow him. That became his call to people. Now, at the end of his life, what does he tell the people who were following him? Go to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I should probably go there too. So Jesus is about, he's died, he's risen from the dead, he's about to extend his arms and be lifted into heaven. In verse 18, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Saying, "I'm God, I'm all powerful. Go therefore," it could be said, "as you go, and make disciples," that word is disciple, is follower, "make disciples of all nations." Disciples of who? Followers of who? Well, obviously of Jesus. So make followers of all nations as you go through life, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So make followers. Teach people to follow me. Show them with your life what it means to follow me. Tell them with your words what it means to follow me. Call them to what I've called you to. Make that same call to them. Bring them to the moment where they say, "I want to do that. I will accept Jesus as my Savior and Lord. I'm going to give myself to him. I'll surrender myself to him." Baptize them. They repent and are baptized. You bring them to that moment of decision. And then, verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Teach them to observe, to obey, to do all that I've commanded you. That's what Jesus told his first followers as he left. And what was their command? Go make other followers. I will make you fishers of men. The call that Jesus makes to them and to us is the same. It's the call to be a follower who makes other followers. That's what Jesus calls us to. So, how do we do that in practical terms? You say, okay, I should be a follower who makes other followers. And that's not optional. That's what it means to follow Jesus. I should follow him and make other. How do I do that? What does it mean? Well, how do I? So if you have some questions in your mind, or if as you start thinking about this later this week, you say, okay, I'm supposed to be a follower who makes other followers, and questions start coming in your mind, I thought rather than doing Q&A, I would try to think of the questions that we might have. some of the ones that I've had in the past or that other people have asked me. And so we'll just do a kind of a rapid fire, but it won't be back and forth. I'll ask the question and I'll answer it. If I didn't get yours, text me later. What does it mean to be a follower who makes other followers? And how do we actually do that? So the first question, what is a follower? If we're calling people to be followers of Jesus, what does that mean? In Jesus' day, what did it mean? Well, you would walk behind him. You would walk with him. He would tell you what to do. You would actually physically talk with him and listen to his actual words as he spoke. What does it mean for us to be Christ followers, to follow Jesus? If that's the call, well, what did a follower do? Spent time with Jesus. And that's what we're supposed to do if we follow Jesus. We're supposed to spend time with him. That means we're supposed to have a friendship, a relationship with Jesus. We're supposed to know him. That's why Paul says, I want to know Christ. There's supposed to be a knowing of that. Isn't that why Jesus said, I'll send my spirit? The spirit connects us. In John 16, Jesus said that his spirit would take from him and give it to us. He would speak to us from Jesus. In other words, the spirit connects us with the Son. He proclaims the Son, the Son. He leads us into all righteousness. He exalts Christ, and he is in us, and he connects us. Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans, but I will ask the Father, and he will send another who will be with you, who will be in you. The Spirit connects us. The Spirit of Jesus connects us to Jesus. We're supposed to know Jesus. We're supposed to know him because we're connected through the Spirit and because we spend time with him, because we read his Word. And as we read his Word, we read the Bible, and we read what Jesus said, and the whole Bible is about Jesus. We talked about that last week, I think. Maybe not. Luke 24:27. And it says that, but the whole story is, we talked about that last week. The whole story is about Jesus. He's a hero of the whole story. That as we read the Bible, we're reading about Jesus, whether it's the actual words he said or the prophecies about him or the people who were shadows of who the real true king and prophet would be, or whether it's what he actually did or what his followers spoke about him afterwards. We are listening to Jesus. We talk with Jesus. That's what prayer is. That's what we ask in his name. We're talking to him. We're supposed to pray to Jesus. We talk with him. We're supposed to have a relationship with him. That's why we sing to him. Why do we worship him in song? Isn't singing to someone one of the most intimate things that you can do? If I were to come down and stand, I'm not, don't worry. It just sounds weird just even thinking about it. But if I were to come and stand in front of Ben and start singing to him, we would just all feel, everybody in here would just like, oh, make it stop. That's because it's an intimate thing to sing to someone. We sing to Jesus because we know him and we love him and we worship him. He's our God and he's our brother. That's why we fast. We fast because he said the bridegroom is not with us, and so we fast because we want to be close to him and we seek him with intensity. That's what we as follower of Jesus spends time with him. In the same way his followers did then, we spend time with him. We are supposed to live our lives walking beside Jesus, listening to him, speaking with him. And then, what does a follower do? What did his first followers do? They spent time with him and they imitated him. Why do you try to be good? Do you try to be good and to do good things and to do right things because you know you should and you don't want God to be mad, or because, you know, maybe your parents or your husband or your wife or your children will criticize you if you do certain things, so you know, I can't do that, there'll be bad consequences, I would get fired if I did that? Or do you try to do good things because you're trying to imitate Jesus, because you're looking at Jesus and saying, Jesus never told a lie. He always told the truth. That's why I should always tell the truth. Well, are you trying to imitate Jesus, or are you just trying to implement good morals in your life? If we're Christ followers, the reason that we try to do good things is because we're trying to imitate Jesus. That's our base desire behind everything. Why shouldn't I get angry? Well, because Jesus didn't get angry in a sinful way. Why do we? So what do we do as followers? What is a follower? It's someone who spends time with Jesus and who imitates Jesus, who has a relationship with the Father like Jesus did and lives more and more like Jesus. Another question, who can follow Jesus? Anyone. So then if a follower is someone who spends time with Jesus and has a relationship with him and knows him and is trying to imitate him, and anyone can do that, then what separates people from those who are followers of Jesus and those who aren't? It's those who have decided to follow Jesus. You know the old song, I have decided to follow Jesus. That's what separates people who, I know, don't worry, I won't be leading singing anytime soon here. That's what separates people who are followers of Jesus from those who aren't. Those who have made the decision, who have repented and been baptized and in humility come before Jesus and said, I surrender myself to you. You will be my God. I will not be my God anymore. That's who is a Christ follower. Here's another question. If Jesus calls us to be followers who make other followers, who should make other followers? Now you might think, well, you just answered that. But think about the question for a moment. You're like, if we're called to be followers to make Christ followers, so I repent and I get baptized, I'm going to have to wait a couple years, right? Learn some stuff before I really start helping anybody else follow Jesus. What was his call to his followers? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Christ followers are supposed to be making other Christ followers. Now, as the more time you spend with Jesus and the more you grow closer to him and the more you learn to imitate him and the more you read your Bible and the more you learn and the more you know and the more experience you have, will you be better at helping other people follow Jesus? Yes. Should you start helping people follow Jesus as soon as you become a Christian? Yes. Every Christ follower, that is his call, to help other people follow him. At the end, it was help and teach him to obey everything I've commanded. What was the last thing that he commanded? Help other people follow me. All Christ followers should be helping other people follow Jesus. So then you say, okay, so who should I be making followers of Jesus? Who are these people that I should be helping make followers of Jesus? All the nations? I mean, how do I do that? Well, I think we're supposed to look around where we're at and say, who are the people that God in his sovereignty has put around me? Who are the people who I could help follow Jesus? You say, well, is that only non-Christians? Well, no. Think about what's the Great Commission? The call to make followers, to help people who obviously aren't Christians. They haven't been baptized into Christ yet. So help people become followers of Christ and then bring them to the point of decision and then teach them to obey everything I've commanded. That point of decision where you repent and are baptized, that's in the middle of the Great Commission, right? On one hand, on one side of that are people who still haven't made that decision. They're still outside the family and are maybe thinking about following Jesus or maybe don't really want to and that's not crossed their mind yet, but they're on this side of making the decision. On the other side are people who have already become Christians and our job to help them follow Jesus more fully is to walk alongside them and help them obey everything that he commanded. And when does that task end? It continues through all of life, right? So if we're going to be followers who make other followers, at least the way Jesus described, I logically would say, okay, so I need to at least have one person in my life who is on this side of the decision to follow Jesus, who hasn't decided to follow Jesus yet, and I should be trying to help that person learn what it means by watching me and listening to me and spending time with me, learn what it means to follow Jesus, and I should be helping them move towards that decision, of course, as the Spirit does his work. I'm not taking his place, but I should be the human being who's helping to guide that person. And then I should have at least one other person on the other side of that salvation decision where I'm helping them I'm walking with them and living life with them and helping them learn to obey everything that Jesus commanded me. So then I say, okay, who's around me? Well, my boys are on this side of that decision, and my wife was on this side, so I'll start there. I'll disciple them. I'll help them follow Jesus more and better, and my wife helps me follow Jesus more and better, so she's helping me be a follower. But then who else? Should I just stop there? Well, probably not. So there's some guys who are on this side of the salvation decision that God's put in my life, and as he puts more people in my life, I'll help them follow Jesus to wherever they're at and whatever I can do with them. And then there's a couple people on this side that I say, okay, I'm helping them follow Jesus better. That's who we should. So the question that we ask ourselves when we say, who should I help follow Jesus, the question should be, okay, who's my person on the outside who's not a Christian yet, who I should be helping to follow Jesus, and who's my person on the inside who already is a Christian? Another question, what do I have to do to make followers? Do I have to like have a Bible study in my house and invite people over? How does that whole thing work? Here is what I think is implicit in the Great Commission when Jesus says, go into all the world, make followers, disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. You know what's implicit in that? What it means to disciple someone, to guide someone in that, what Jesus is telling us to do, he's telling us to take responsibility. Let me say the whole thing and then let me nuance it out a little bit. To take responsibility for guiding that person, not responsibility for what they end up doing. If you're in my life and I'm guiding you to follow Jesus, I'm not responsible for what you do. You are before God. But deciding, what Jesus is saying is, help people follow me, become followers, guide them through the moment of making the decision to follow me, and then teach them to obey everything I've commanded. Well, in order for me to do that, I have to say, I'm going to take responsibility for doing that. I'm going to take responsibility for guiding you spiritually. Does that give me authority over you? No. It just is me saying, I'm going to take responsibility to obey what Jesus commanded as far as it relates to helping people follow him, as it relates to that person in my life and that person in my life. I'm going to help them follow Jesus. Will they? I don't know. But I'm going to try to guide them into that. That's what it means to help other people follow Jesus. What's the goal? You say, okay. So I should disciple people, I should help people follow Jesus, somebody outside, somebody inside. When the Spirit leads me and I know who I'm guiding and because of who God's put in my life and who's open and et cetera, and I'm feeling, yeah, and this is who I'm taking responsibility for guiding. What's my goal with those people? Is my goal to get in a Bible study with them? Or what's my goal? Yeah, you'll study the Bible, but the goal is to help them be what? Followers of Jesus. What's a follower? Who's a follower of Jesus? Someone who spends time with Jesus, who knows Jesus, who's God's child. That's the decision to follow him, to repent and be baptized, and who learns to obey everything that he commanded. So what's your goal with the person? It's not necessarily a weekly Bible study, although it might be, but listen, your goal is to help them be ever increasing in that their time they spend with Jesus, in knowing Jesus, in loving Jesus, and in imitating Jesus. So what does that mean? That means as you guide them, there'll always be a next step for them to take, and you will be guiding them towards that. That's what the Great Commission is implicit in, is telling us to do. How do we do that? How do we guide people to take their next steps, to become closer to Jesus, to decide that they want to be his followers, and then to live life every day as his follower, becoming more and more like him and knowing him better and imitating him more? How do we guide people into that? We do it through friendship. If I'm going to guide you or you're going to guide me to follow Jesus more fully, it's not just you showing up at my house once a week and opening the Bible. That's good. Helping people make followers is in community. That's what Jesus did with his followers. So you will be most effective in helping people follow Jesus as you share genuine friendship with them and live in community with them and open your life and your house and your refrigerator to those people. Dinner table, whatever. You know what I'm saying. Eat together. Spend time together. Live as family. And in that relationship, you have an eternal purpose. So what does that mean? So you have friendship and you have a purpose in that way. You're trying to help them follow Jesus. And so you're praying for that person. I can take responsibility for guiding you spiritually if that's what the Spirit's prompted me to do, even if you don't even know that you're really wanting to follow Jesus, and even if you don't want to talk to me about Jesus, and even if you shut all the doors and said, I don't want to read the Bible with you, what can I do? I can pray for you. 1 John 5 says that if we ask anything in accordance with his will, he hears us. And we know if he hears us, then he's given us what we've asked for. That's kind of a paraphrase, a loose paraphrase, but that's what it's saying. And so what is it saying? If I ask what God wants, well, what does God want? God wants all people to come to salvation and to not perish. So I know you're my friend and you're far from God. I'm sorry for picking on you. You got to sit somewhere else. You're my friend and you're far from God, and you don't want to know anything about God, though. You don't want to talk about God. I've tried, and so, okay, I can invest in a friendship with you, and then I can pray for you. You don't have to give me your consent for that. I can do it on the way to work every day. Just pray for you. God, please save him. And I don't even have to say, if it's your will, like we have to add to a lot of our prayers, because God has said it's his will. He wants to save him. So I can say, please, would you please save him and give me an opportunity to speak the gospel to him today. And maybe he will today. Maybe he won't. Maybe years will go by. I can pray. We can pray for him. I can speak. I can speak the gospel and the story, and I can in conversations, and I can have a Bible study. The best thing in the world is when we're actually sitting down every week and we open up the Bible together and we're reading the Bible together and we're talking through questions and you're able to say, well, what's keeping you from making your decision to follow Jesus? And then after you become a Christian, we read the Bible together, and it's not just I want to fill you with knowledge, it's I want to teach you to obey everything that Jesus commanded. So last week we read about loving your neighbor. How did you love your neighbor this week? How can you love your neighbor better this next week? All right, so we're learning and we're obeying. Now let's read something else. Jesus said, forgive your enemies. We're going to read that today. Who's an enemy that you've had that you need to forgive? We're going to not just fill our heads with knowledge, but I'm going to walk with you as we learn how to obey everything that he commanded. That's how we make disciples through all of life. So, if Jesus' call is to follow him and be followers who make other followers, what should we do? We should follow Jesus and we should make other followers. We should dedicate our lives to following Jesus and helping other people follow him. That means for you, if you've never made the decision, if you've never, you heard that whole thing about before the decision and after the decision, you say, well, I'm on this side of that. I know kind of what it means to follow Jesus. I know what he did for me, and I know that I should give myself to him and make him the Lord of my life, but I have never made that decision. Then for you, he's calling you in the same way that he called the two brothers who were there in the boat throwing their net into the water. He's calling you and he's saying, follow me. Be my follower. Give yourself to me. Surrender to me. And you do that by repenting and being baptized and surrendering your heart and body and soul to him. And then you become his follower. You will be saved. You will be God's child. You will be the loved, forgiven child of God, and you will be Christ's follower with a new purpose in your life. And in this community, when you're ready to make that decision, you just have to tell someone. There's water that's always kept at a comfortable 40 to 80 degrees. You won't die in it, that's the point. But you will. That's another sermon. If you've already made that decision, you say, okay, so I'm a Christ follower. What do I do? What do I do with this? I kind of knew all that already. Well, what did Jesus' followers have to do? They had to follow him better every day. They had to walk behind him and learn more from him, spend more time with him, and then imitate him more. So if you're already a Christ follower and you've already decided you're on this side of that decision, then ask yourself, and the Holy Spirit will guide you into all righteousness. He will lead you as you ask this question of God. Jesus, through his Spirit, will guide you into the answer. What can you do in your life to spend more time with Jesus and to imitate him better? Let him guide you into that. And as you read the Word, he will. And what can you do to make other followers? Let me just ask some questions to kind of help you think through that. Who is or who are the people that you are leading right now? Who's the person on the outside who's not come to faith yet, that you've taken responsibility for their spiritual guiding? Maybe you pray for them every day. Who is that person? If there isn't someone, start asking Jesus, who have you put in my life that you want me to guide to faith in you? Who's the person on the inside who's already a Christian? Maybe someone around you. Maybe they live in the same house with you, and you say, I should read the Bible with them. I should start talking to them about their faith. I should take personal responsibility for guiding them on their journey, because I'm supposed to help them to obey everything that Jesus commanded. Who are those people? How are you guiding them? How could you guide them if you aren't? How could you invest more in a friendship with them? How could you help them to follow Jesus more and take their next step? What do you need to do to follow Jesus? more and to make other followers? Why don't we stand as we think about that question? We'll pray together and then we'll sing. Jesus, we come to you before you today, and together we thank you that you invite us, call us, ask us to follow you. Don't have to do that. You can do anything you want to do without us, but you invite us to become children of God. You invite us to help other people know you. That's incredible. So God, I pray that this year that you would help us, each one individually, to embrace that call, to follow you. For those who have never made the decision to follow you, to say, yes, I want that. I want to follow Jesus, to repent and be baptized and become your child. God, for those of us who have made that decision, I pray, God, that you would help us to live this year trying to follow you better every day and know you more and see you more clearly and hear your voice and become more like you. And God, I pray that you would help us to focus our lives on guiding the people that you have put around us to know you, to become your followers, and to follow you in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.